me say, first of all, I appreciate everyone that's come this afternoon to honor the life of Brother Philip Davis, and we pray that your prayers will be during this time of this service and the days to come for this family. Pray for Miss Linda. I'm thankful for the opportunity to have met Brother Philip and to have had his friendship for the last few months and maybe a year, and we just pray that God's grace be with y'all. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Then we're going to sing a song, and then we're going to have his daughters wanting to say something, so we're going to have her come up then. All right, Father, we thank you again for this opportunity we have to bow in your presence, the privilege that we have together here to honor the life of Brother Philip. Lord, I pray that you'll be in this service today. Lord, I pray that you'll use it, Lord, for your honor and your glory. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with this family. Just give them grace and strength. Meet their needs, Lord, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for all that you do and accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. Satan should buffet, though trials should come. Let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well
with my soul,
it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul. It is well, it is well. And Lord, haste the day when thy face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
All right, Miss Lisa, you come on.
I've stood behind many a pulpit in my 21 years of Salvation Army officership, and I have to say that this is probably the most difficult thing I've ever had to do, but I believe it will be the most glorious, because my father was a trophy of grace. And those of you that knew my mama and papa, and for those of you who didn't know them, they were Daddy's parents. And they had an incredible anointing upon their lives. And that anointing fell upon their son. But their son didn't want it. He compromised. And so the Lord said, okay, Philip, I'm going to let you go out into the world and squander. And because of that, my daddy became a very angry man. Lived most of his life in anger. And his children and his wife became the reciprocants of that. When a fist flies from a mouth, time and time again, it creates a deep pain. But there were two individuals by the name of W.P. and Ora Mae Davis that prayed for their son. And then there were two young daughters that prayed for their daddy. And there was a wife, Linda Davis, who prayed for her husband. And in June of 1996 was when my dad's world and heaven collided. And we know when that happens, heaven will win. My dad, the old man, lived a life of adultery and went out one night, and God said, I'm intervening. And my dad got into a terrible car accident that almost took his life. And he was pinned underneath the vehicle. And angels descended from heaven and lifted that vehicle off of him. That's his testimony. And when they got him to the hospital, they told my mom, it's a miracle he survived. But what God did through that accident was he allowed my daddy's body to start decaying over a period of time. And daddy had to retire early. And his daughter, who was a young Salvation Army officer at the time, pleaded with the Lord for God to heal him. And God spoke to me and said, Lisa, I can do that. But if I do, your dad will revert back to the man that he once was. Is that what you want? And I said, no, Lord. And as the years passed and my daddy's health continued to deplete, it was the hardened heart within that changed and became very tender and very soft. And you have to understand that by God's divine hand, I was the daddy's girl. But when mom became pregnant with me, I was unwanted. And God stepped in and said, the daughter that you don't want will become the daughter that you need. And I need to say to you that my daddy loved my sister and my brother as well. And when he became saved, when he became born again, and when redemption came, and when the Spirit of God began his work of sanctification, my daddy loved the Lord and he loved his word. And he would weep in front of his children, apologizing over and over again for the things that he had done. But yet we would look at Daddy and say, it's okay. We love you, Dad. For the last three and a half years, my dad was under the care of hospice. But even before that, in June of 2012, hospice gave my dad 6 to 8 weeks to live. I was out at camp with these two young ladies right here. And I begged God to wait Can you wait 2 weeks, God, and let me get through the first 2 weeks of camp, which were my responsibility? And the Lord allowed that. And then at the end of summer, I begged God again, I'm just not ready. Can you give us more time? And God breathed life back into that man and got him up out of that bed. And last year, I felt like I needed to tell Daddy how much he meant to me. That all of our conversations about the Lord and about Scripture, as I sat in their room with them, and how God led Cheryl and Philip back home for the purpose of using them as caregivers, has been an amazing work of God's grace in our lives. And how He has kept the three of us close. And these last couple of days we have laughed and we have cried together. I did not know my dad was in the hospital. I did not know that he had pneumonia because the Lord did not want me to know that. He wanted me to remember that our last conversation was about the book of Revelation. And what John the Revelator wrote, my dad has now seen. And I don't know a whole lot, but I do know this. My daddy is with Jesus. Tuesday, I got a phone call. My secretary, Reverend Amaryllis West, and her husband, Reverend Curtis West, drove up from Jackson. Amaryllis and I were in the Salvation Army Disaster Warehouse in Jackson, Mississippi, working on Hallmark, when I got a call from Mom, a voicemail. And you need to understand that my mom can barely talk. And when I picked up the phone, the Lord said to me, "That's about your dad." So I called her back and she said, "Daddy's in the hospital and it doesn't look good." Okay, Mom. So as Amaryllis and I walked out of the warehouse, I gave her my car keys. She was behind the wheel. I was in the vehicle praying for God to allow His angels to come and usher my father into His presence. Well, I'm a Mexican food eater, so that's where we were headed. But before we went into the restaurant, we sat there and talked. And then she prayed over me and over you and my mom and dad. A cell phone, I left it in the car. We went in the restaurant, came back out, 40 minutes later, picked up my phone. Mom had left another message. I didn't listen to the message. I just immediately called her and she said, "Daddy's gone." And I said, "The Lord heard my prayer. He took my daddy home where he suffers no more." But there's a part of me that misses him. But I know that our Father in heaven understands that. But what I want you to know is that no matter what happens in your life, God is a God who gives grace that abounds more and more. And I leave you with this scripture verse from Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And my father, before the Lord took him, was a saint. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Thank you, Miss Lisa. Appreciate that. Let me read this. Philip Douglas Davis, Sr., age 73, of Beaufort, died August 23, 2016. Born in Earlington, Kentucky, he was a 1961 graduate of Bass High School in Atlanta and attended Gwinnett Tech. Philip was a maintenance supervisor at Phillips State Prison in Beaufort. He was preceded in death by his parents, W.P. and Ora May Davis, surviving are his wife of 54 years, Linda H. Davis, daughter Cheryl Davis of Beaufort, and Major Lisa Davis, S.A. of Jackson, Mississippi, son Philip Davis, Jr. of Beaufort, and granddaughter Alicia Davis, several nieces and nephews. All right, we're going to have Brother Keith come around. He's going to pray, and then he's going to sing one of Brother Philip's favorite songs, How Great Thou Art. He'd requested this several times on Sunday, so we're going to have Brother Keith come around at this time.
Y'all pray with me if you would. Lord, precious Heavenly Father, we realize this is a time of grief for many, Lord, but it's also a time of celebration that our brother Philip is with you now. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that he has that assurance through his salvation and the shed blood of Jesus that he is with you now, Lord God. Thank you for this place we can meet together and celebrate his life. Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory. Lord, if there's one here that's lost today, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will work on that heart. Lord, will tenderize their heart, Lord, in this time of bereavement that they may be saved, Lord God. We thank you, and we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain yonder and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. When I think of God his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I can scarcely take it in. That on that cross my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great. Christ shall come, with shouts of acclamation, and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Keith. I appreciate that good song this morning. I want to read a passage of Scripture after Lisa's testimony and what she said about her dad. I believe this would be very fitting, and I believe if Philip could be here today, he would probably agree. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days comes not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as gourds and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, he be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Listen to this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every word unto judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The writer of Ecclesiastes is talking about a person when they grow old and when the eyes begin to fail, they begin to become feeble, the legs begin to tremble, and they begin to be afraid of heights and different things. It comes along with getting old. He was the wisest man, the Bible tells us, that has ever lived, that penned down this passage of Scripture. And I believe there in verse 1 where he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I believe that if Philip was here this evening, every one of us, as he looks back on his life, and he had told me some of these stories, Miss Lisa, about what had happened, how God had dealt with him back through the years. Actually, one Sunday after we preached, we went to visit him. I believe it was on the following Saturday. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I got something to tell you today." He said, "I got saved Sunday after the message." He said, "I knew Jesus. I knew about Jesus." He said, "But Jesus didn't know me." And I was telling Lisa that just a little bit ago. Now, I don't know if Brother Philip got saved that day or whether Brother Philip just got the assurance of his salvation. Sounds to me like what Miss Lisa's told me, that God had dealt with him down through the years. I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God today, you're going to pay in this life. I'm glad that when Jesus died for our sins and He nailed our sins to the cross and we trusted Him as our personal Savior, I'm glad that He judged my sins, past, present, and future. Not only my sins, but the sins of the whole world, of those that would come and trust Him as their Savior. I'm glad that He judged our sin. But a child of God that knows Jesus, that's trusted Jesus, I mean, we can't get by with just living any which way in this world. And if we sin before a God in this world after we trust Jesus, we know that we're not all purpose. Perfect. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:14, says, "Whatsoever God doeth, He doeth it forever." And I'm glad that what He does for salvation goes, He does it forever. I'm glad that we're eternally kept by the power of God. When Jesus died on the cross and He bowed His head and He said, "It is finished." Let me say, friends, salvation was finished that day. All the work for salvation ended. I mean, Jesus took upon Him. The Bible says God hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. And I believe this evening, that as we gather here to pay our respects to Brother Philip, and I'd like to say, I thank God that our paths crossed. I thank God for the email that I got inviting me into their home to meet them after I became pastor. Probably for the last year and a half, I'd go over on Saturdays. Me and my wife would go over from time to time. He always called me pastor. And he said, sometimes he said, "Pastor, I was praying that you'd come by today." He always had questions about the Bible. He read the book of Daniel. He read the book of Revelation. He read other books. And he'd always have questions that he wanted to find out. And I believe that God, in His sovereignty, in His love, He got Philip to that point in place that he could have that fellowship that he desired to have all those years down through the time as Philip walked away from him. Lisa testified to the fact that he had that anointing on him, maybe that call that he tried to run from, that he got away from. But yet, I'm glad we serve a God that's a God of love. I'm glad that we serve a God that knows what we go through. And I believe that if Philip could be here this evening and he could stand up here before you, his testimony, I believe, would be verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not." You know, I'm going to turn 62 next Wednesday. And I can't believe that I've got to this point in place in my life. And I can't believe that time has flown by. These years have just flipped away, and they've just gotten away from me. And I looked around one day, and I wondered where 15 years have gone. And it's sad today, but that's what happens in our life. Life, the Bible says, is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and it vanishes away. And you know, we waste a lot of our time sometimes living for the devil, living for the flesh, living for this world. When if we knew that time was coming to an end this quick, we were going to grow old. We were going to get to the place that the writer of Ecclesiastes said. He gives us that reminder there in verse 1 of what we should be, what we ought to be. And you and I that are breathing and alive today and enjoying the blessings of God, if we could get a hold of this verse, I think our lives, our homes, our churches would be a lot better places. I believe we'd see a lot more people get saved. I believe our nation wouldn't be in the mess that it's in today. Our forefathers that stood for right, they stood for the Constitution, they stood for the Word of God. Even though the brother was outside talking a while ago, even those that didn't profess Christ as their Savior back in that time, or maybe weren't considered Christian, yet they knew that we needed God in our lives, that we needed God in our nation. And you know, you and I as individuals today, especially those that have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, hey, we need God like we never needed Him before. And I believe Philip would say, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Well, I want to live for Him, don't you? Hey, I want to walk with Him. I'm thankful that God let my path cross with Brother Philip and Miss Linda. They've been a blessing to us. We'd go over there and try to be an encouragement to them. He always had an encouraging word to say. And I thank God that God let Philip and Linda Davis come into our lives and into our past. I've heard a lot of stories about WP, and I've listened to him preach as he was frail and fragile, but yet he still would get up behind the pulpit and he'd preach. He'd go to the nursing home, try to be an encouragement to others. And I just thank God that God has let the Davis family come into our lives, and that we got to become friends with them in these latter days here. But the reminder, the realization, verses 2 through 8 there, the Bible talks about what's going to happen in your life. Friend, you're going to get old one of these days. Can I encourage you this evening? If you are saved, you have trusted Christ as your Savior, hey, live for Him now. Don't put off what today, what you tomorrow, what you can do today. Walk with Jesus on a regular basis. Don't have to get to that point and that place where you're in the bed. And when you're growing old, then people want to go to church and they can't. Do it today. And I believe that would be what Philip would tell you today. Hey, go to the house of God. Read your Bible. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you can have that victory all through your life. But we see the realization, hey, those days are coming, friend. You're going to grow older. Your body's going to grow weak. I've got a bad arm. I've got to have surgery on it. This body is deteriorating, you know, and we have problems in this life. The eyes are failing. I can still read. Hey, but I'm having trouble. And you could probably sense when I was reading that some of those words sort of run together. And I could have had glasses on and probably seen better. Hey, but these eyes fade away. The ears to the point where hear like you once to. This body is deteriorating. But I'm glad, hey, that there's a better place at the end of this walk of life. The reminder, the realization, and then the reward. Or verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the stern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Hey, I'm glad there's a better day for the child of God. Can I say, I believe with all my heart that Brother Philip Davis is in the presence of Jesus this afternoon. I believe he don't have to worry about no hospital beds anymore. Hey, he don't have to worry about sleeping with that CPAC on anymore. He don't have to worry about the seizures that's coming, the light that's calling. Hey, he's in the brightest place that he's ever been. And can I say this morning, hey, he's not having no seizures either. I'm glad to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. A lot of things we don't understand. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither enter into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that loved Him. I believe Brother Philip, Cheryl, Philip Jr., Miss Lisa, I believe he's in a better place. I believe he's rejoicing around the throne of God. And he's just saying, y'all just, hey, look forward to what you're going to. The reward at the end of this life to those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. And then the latter part of this verse, you know, everyone ought to take heed. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole fear God. You know what's wrong with our world? There's no fear of God anymore. The reason people go in their own way, there's no fear of God anymore. He said, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I tell you, God gave the best that He had for us. He gave His Son Jesus to die on Calvary's cross. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, all roads don't lead to heaven contrary to what this world is saying today. Hey, there's one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. You'll not skirt Jesus Christ if you plan on going to heaven one of these days. Hey, you'll come by the way of the cross, friend, or you're not going. I don't care what kind of good works you've done. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Baptism's not going to get you to heaven. Hey, good works is not going to get you to heaven, but it's only through the blood, of the shed blood of the Lamb of God this afternoon. But I'm glad there's a reward. He said, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. I'm glad this evening that God is a righteous judge. Hey, He's going to judge us according to righteousness. And we need to keep that in mind. Realize today is the day that we should be walking with Jesus and having that relationship with Him. I thank God for the Davis family and for allowing us to be a part of that, for just a little, being able to be his pastor, be able to stand up here and try to say just a few feeble words. I was going to read another passage of Scripture, but it just seemed like this passage come to my mind, and I couldn't get away from it. And there in verse 1, remember now. If I ain't said nothing else today that strikes your heart, remember verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. We're going there. We're going to get to where Brother Phillips at. He was down there, and he was at the hospice center there in Athens. There were some sweet nurses down there, and they took real good care of him. But I'm going to tell you, he's in a better place today. And I just thank God for his friendship and his love. God bless you, family. If there's anything that we can ever do for you, just call us. We're just a phone call away. And Miss Linda, I know you're watching by the way of the webcast. Let me say this evening, if you need anything, you call us. We're praying for you. Our prayers are with you. We love you. And God bless each and every one of you for coming and paying your respects to Brother Philip Davis. And I know he'd be thankful to see you here this afternoon. Know that people loved him. And you know, you get down and you get bedridden, you can't go and you can't communicate with people like you once to. People lose touch with you. People lose touch with you. You know, every one of us, after we leave this walk of life, a year or two down the road, the memories begin to fade out of people unless it's our immediate family. By the time 25 years rolls around, hey, people have forgot about you just about. You know, except for your immediate family. But thank God for friends and loved ones that take time and come and honor and pay respects to a man that was their friend. Lord, we sure do thank you again for the opportunity we've had to be a part of this service here for Brother Philip, Lord. And I pray for his family. God, that you'll just give them grace and strength, meet all of their needs. Lord, I pray for Miss Linda. I pray that you'd undergird her with your love and your comfort, Lord, as only you can give. Lord, I pray that you be with the nurses and those that looks after them. Be with Cheryl and Philip as they stay there in the house with them, with her, Lord, and take care of her. I pray for Lisa, Lord, in the Salvation Army. We know they do a good work out there, Lord, and they help a lot of people. And God, I just pray that your hand be upon them. Lord, help us all, Lord, this evening, Lord, as we leave this place, to take to heart, verse 1, remember now thy Creator. While we have the opportunity, Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to do what we can to further the kingdom of God. Lord, we know that one of these days, that last one's going to get born again, whether it's here in the United States, whether it's in some foreign country. But one of these days, that last one's going to trust you. And God, you're going to tell Jesus, go get your bride, son. And Lord, we're getting out of here. Lord, we love you. And thank you again for the opportunity to stand here this afternoon. Have your way. Give grace as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. God bless you. Brother.